As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETIDE.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETIDE.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Hello, gamers, and welcome to Budget Arcade, the number one free-to-play gaming podcast in the world. I'm Scott.
My name's Jeff.
Hey, I'm Mark.
And welcome to episode number 87. Just to recap, we play a free-to-play game every other week, and then we rate and review it. Mark, what was this week's game?
So this week we played Another Eden, the Cat Beyond Time and Space.
Did you guys play the first Eden? I didn't. I played Another Eden.
Good for you, Jeff.
I played another Eden.
Go ahead, Mark.
Wasn't as good.
This is your time. I know how you feel about it.
Thank you, Jeff. The game is developed by Wright Flyers Studio, also known as WFS. They've developed Heaven Burns Red, After Lost,
When I Pee,
Dan Machi, Memoria Freeze, which has the tagline, "Is it wrong to try to pick up girls in a dungeon?"
Yes. The answer is yes. If your sentence starts with, "Is it wrong to pick up girls?" Whatever you follow that with, the answer is just going to be yes.
It was released on January 29th, 2019. For the iOS and Android devices.
As well as PC.
Eh.
I played on PC.
Well, that's where it was released at.
Fun fact on this one. This is supposed to be a spiritual successor to the hit game Chrono Trigger that was originally released on the SNES.
Which I don't get. Like, I playing this, it didn't remind me of Chrono Trigger really in any way, other than that they share a genre. What
the storyline is very similar as well with the time travel and everything.
Well, does that mean Back to the Future and Chrono Trigger are very similar?
Yes, God, I hope so.
Yes.
Oh,
yes,
okay. Well, then
Back to the Future 3 is the spiritual successor to
Chrono Trigger.
I would have played it then if you know, Doc Brown and the DeLorean were in that. But just a
note to the fact that this is the spiritual successor. It also has the same composer as the Chrono Trigger game.
Oh, that's cool. Because the music is interesting. That's as good of an adjective as I'm willing to apply to it. It's not forgetful or forgettable, I should say.
Yeah. Well, even the very first song nods to the original song in Chrono Trigger.
Yeah, Baby Got Back.
The game starts out, the game actually starts out the exact same way that Chrono Trigger does as well, where the character is waking up and actually has the same beats as the original song did in this song as well.
Well, so the character waking up is like in a bunch of RPGs, though. I mean, Link to the Past,
It is
Albert Odyssey,
and I played that one as well.
Albert Odyssey,
good game too.
That's a real game. I'm not being facetious. It's on the Sega Saturn. Yeah, it is a great game. Under the radar. But that those are tenuous connections for me. Like, if I see a game that starts off with a guy waking up in bed or a girl and getting out of bed, that to me just is RPG. There's so many that do that. Suikoden, like all the ones I've played, Pokemon games. Don't you just start by getting out of bed and then you go downstairs and your mom's like, hey, today's the day you get your Pokemon?
Yes.
Yeah, I think sure. That would be a RPG staple, right?
Yeah. So again,
Is it really an RPG if your character doesn't wake up in the morning of said day when something occurs?
When you're, yeah, exactly. I would argue that it's not.
Gameplay.
So let's talk about the gameplay. So it is a turn-based RPG, like a JRPG. And what I say by that is your combat is totally menu-based. You select your actions from a menu of where you can attack, and then you have various skills or spells that you can select. You can also use items in combat. So as you walk around the map, the encounters are semi-random. And I say that because there are some encounters where you can see the enemies, but they're usually encounters you just want to totally avoid. And then there's the encounters that are random, which are usually pretty easy to win. And you benefit from fighting those. You get XP and things like that. Now, the big difference here, though, from your all these aforementioned RPGs is that your party isn't built up of people you meet along the way. So, like, one of my favorite RPGs for a guy who doesn't really do the genre that well is Final Fantasy IV. And your party is made up of people that you meet along the way, and they leave, and they come back. Or more modern ones like Divinity Original Sin, you go to towns and you meet people, and if you talk to them the right way, you can recruit them. And, you know, that doesn't happen here. It uses a gacha system, which I'm sure we'll get more into when we get to the paywall, but all of your allies are essentially randomly assigned to you as you do gacha pulls.
Well, there are some allies that you do pick up along the way per the storyline, but other than that, most of them are the gacha characters that you're going to pull.
But aren't they just briefly with you? Like,
yeah,
they do a chapter and then they're gone. And
yeah.
So you start off by creating a character, there's basically two to choose from, male and female. I didn't feel like there was a ton of customization here for your character. And for a game like this, where it's this free-to-play format, and I really expected to have a lot more customization to the character I'm going to be spending, you know, if you like the game, hundreds of hours with. Am I the only one that played this game again?
No, I played quite a bit of it.
Oh, God.
Actually, so how far did you get, Jeff?
So I did the entire opening campaign thing where you're in your town. And I remember, was it this game where I was leaping around finding stuff on top of building, like little huts?
That's not this game.
I can't remember.
That's not this game.
What game did I play?
Really?
I don't know.
I can't remember. I can't remember how the story went, but, you know, starting off in the town, and then I got on a boat that was taking me to like a world where everybody is playing a multiplayer game together. So it's kind of this weird lit RPG. And I got over there and I did like a bunch of dungeons. And then I met someone else, and then I got a few gacha pulls, and then I started moving north to, I'm not sure where. I took some buses. I don't remember exactly how far.
Okay,
holy crap, did you play this game?
Are you talking about the...
Yeah.
The, so,
did you play well, another
maybe buses or maybe buses are like trains?
Yeah, I think you're talking about the futuristic world where you're taking the trams from one platform to the next platform.
Right. Okay. And then, so, like, the world itself, as you traverse it, reminds me of the more recent... Animal Crossing games, where you're kind of walking on a world that how do you describe this? It scrolls like almost like it's on a baking, what do you call that thing where you roll the pizza out? A pizza roller, like just a big cylinder that's rolling.
A rolling pin?
I'm not describe. There you go. Thank you. One of those. And, you know, if you played the latest Animal Crossing games, you know what I'm talking about.
So you mean where your character stands still, basically, and everything moves behind it?
No. Okay. So, again, I'm having a hard time putting the words to it. Did you? You didn't play the new Animal Crossing games. So if you're at the top of the city, right, and you walk down on a game like Final Fantasy, the plane is 2D, right? You're just looking at this top-down 2D plane as you walk down. But on this game, that plane is actually kind of folded around a rolling pin. And so as you walk down,
the ground kind of scrolls
and rolls. Yeah, I don't know how else to describe it. Just look up a video of Animal Crossing from the 3DS or the Wii U and, you know, or did they make one for the Wii U or the Switch? And you'll know what I mean.
Okay. Mark, how far did you get?
I got to the point where you battle the robot guy on the motorcycle.
Okay.
And that's where I had
to go on and do anything else with your life.
No, I had the point where I'm trying to think of who was in my party. I had three other people besides myself in the party, and it was I had a human character in the party. I had a synthoid in the party. And then I had a random male character that I got
from
because
your gacha pull.
A gacha pull. And
well, no, that one shouldn't have been random because that first gacha pull, you actually got to pick between, I think, 12 different characters.
Maybe. So it wasn't random, but it was not story driven.
Right. You didn't meet them at a tavern.
Right. No, right.
And then they joined your party. Right.
And so, I battled the story person. I don't even know what his name was.
Well, there's like a guy. You said he had a motorcycle. I thought he had a jetpack.
No, it was definitely a motorcycle.
He was from the island. So like there's a captain of the ship, and then there's a guy who comes over from the island that's this MMO, and he says, "You're special because you have
I'm just thinking of this Rastafarian
island DNA."
Guy.
I don't know who he is.
He's like, "Hey man, I'm from the island of..."
No, edit that out.
Don't edit that out. It's because 100% that's
sure.
What I'm thinking.
Oh, God.
Hey, man, I am from the island of this game.
Well, it's been fun doing this podcast with you guys.
Why is Jeff so triggered by that?
I don't know.
There's more islands than just Jamaica.
No.
You do know, like, oh my.
Everybody listening to that went exactly the same spot that I did. All right.
Only
go ahead.
Because you
go
did.
No, they didn't. No, yeah.
You implanted it in their minds.
I don't want to do this anymore. I just want to say this is it for me. I can't take it. I hate these games.
You didn't even play this one.
I did too. I promise you I put more time in than you did.
No, you didn't.
How much did you put in?
Probably like an hour.
Yeah, I definitely did.
No, I'm just kidding. I said that for Lincoln. I said that for Lincoln.
Oh,
so
sure
he can post all about it in the Discord. But
you got butthurt about that too, which was funny.
No, my man tried to like put my name on blast, and I was not having it. Anyways,
for good reason.
Anyways.
Okay, so
we're talking about another Eden.
So the encounters are turn-based. Outside of the encounters, to move, you slide your thumb on the left-hand side of your phone. If you're on phone, if you're not doing PC, there's kind of like a joystick over there on that side that you can move your character up and down, left and right with. And other than that, the only other interactions are like thought bubbles or bubbles that pop up over people's heads or areas that you can interact with. Then that's outside of the battling. The controls are actually pretty simplistic on this game, and there wasn't a whole lot to it.
Yeah, same on PC. You moved around with WASD and then clicked on things with your mouse. It really straightforward. I found the combat system, not the system, but the navigating the menus to be a lot different than what you're used to in a regular JRPG because it's made for mobile. So when it's almost like the fights take place in rounds as opposed to like using some sort of initiative or speed mechanic. So you pick all of your character's moves and then click OK. And then it runs those animations as opposed to like one at a time. You know what I mean? Like if you played Final Fantasy I and it was the Red Mage's turn, you would just select what the Red Mage did and then he would perform his action and it would go to the next person in the turn order. And this, you just select all of it at once, and then the animations play. Yeah. And then you rinse and repeat.
Well, and one of the bad things about that is you could not, like, say, okay, I want these characters to attack this enemy, and these characters to attack this enemy.
Right.
There was that issue of that. So, like, once you selected an enemy, they would all target that until that enemy was dead, and then move on to, like, the next one. One of the major mechanics in this is, so I know that you've got your four main characters in the party, and then you can have a backup of two other characters. I don't know how many characters you guys ended up having with your gacha pulls.
I had a full bench.
You did have a full bench?
Yeah, so the way you get your gacha pulls is you can do tasks in-game, and you get this coin or whatever it's called, and then you draw your gachas. And I got enough just playing for to get maybe five of them or so. So I had a party of three with a full bench.
Okay. Party of four with a full bench. So that's a total of six people.
Sure. That's correct.
Yes. And so as you're fighting, you can drop somebody off your main line into the bench line and bring one of the other two forward. Anybody that's in that bench is actually healing their magic power as well as their health while they're on the bench. So you could, theoretically, you could, as long as your main characters are not dying on a regular basis, like you can theoretically keep switching them in and out and keep fighting in a fight for quite a while. I ended up having to do that at one point in time where just to stay alive, I had like one healer out who was healing everybody while the other two main characters or like my powerhouse or my big heavy hitters were on the bench healing their magic ability as well as their health. And then I could bring them out and switch the other ones back and get their magic ability back up while I'm attacking the enemy and stuff. So it was kind of a strategy to use that. But other than that, the gameplay is pretty straightforward as far as RPGs go.
Yeah, you're not going to get too surprised. And I don't hate the concept of a gacha style JRPG. With the exception of there's no story to bring in those gacha characters, which is only a problem because the game is so story based. There's a lot to read. It doesn't. So like some of the mobile gacha games, there really isn't a ton of story to click through. You just do whatever the game is, whether it's like an auto battler or a turn-based RPG or something like that. And then you draw your characters in. And so since there's no story, there's no reason to really try to justify why it's happening. But in this game, since there's so much interaction between characters, to have these random people in your crew that don't actually have any narrative reason for being there is just kind of weird to me.
So did you get to, oh no, wait, you did not get there because you guys didn't finish the futuristic cityscape in the sky level, did you?
That sounds correct.
Okay, Mark, did you finish that?
I think I did. I think I got to where you
where it says start.
I got past that part. I got past the where he wakes up and he
he's
in the future and
you beat the motorcycle
I'm fighting
guy.
The dude. I'm fighting the dude on the motorcycle. What the heck?
What if we told you there was no dude on a motorcycle?
Well, then I would know you didn't play this game because there's a dude on a motorcycle. All right. And he's fighting you.
So after you beat the dude on the motorcycle, there's kind of a celebration at the end. And then
thank you, Scott.
People start disappearing during that celebration. And it's because...
Okay, no, I didn't get to that.
Okay, so...
Yeah, see? Motorcycle might be.
So, where did you go, Jeff?
Everybody, like,
where did I went on with my life.
So yeah, the one girl that's in your party, she actually disappears completely. And a bunch of other people.
Allison.
Yes, and all of her friends and family, they start disappearing. And then you get sucked into a vortex. At that point in time, you're in this kind of like a central hub. And they actually explain who all the other gacha characters are, so to speak. It, basically, it's stating that they are all, like, similar to you, that they have the ability to travel through time, this, that, and the other thing. And then after that, you're thrown into the past, the prehistoric past. The synthoid girl that you pick up in the future, she actually stays with your party the entire time that I played. So
I made it to the prehistoric past.
Okay, so yeah, she stays with you in the prehistoric past. And actually, so the first...
Is that a double entendre, the prehistoric past?
No, a double entendre would be something that has two meanings, whereas both words have the same meaning.
Okay.
Similar meaning.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jeff.
Okay.
Is it double negative?
No, it's definitely not a double negative. You're just getting further and further away.
So anyway,
I'm just throwing out terms to see if you will say what they mean.
The very first gacha poll that I was forced to take, where you have to pick one of those like 12 characters or whatever, the character I picked actually had a point in the story in the prehistoric the prehistory area where she was known in that area and actually had an extra quest that I was able to pick up because I had that character. So some of those characters are, they do throw into the storyline a little bit.
Did y'all do the side quest where the kid, he's playing the game?
Yes.
And his dad moves him across country or whatever. And he's so fed up that because he had a relationship with another friend in the same area. And then his dad uprooted him. And took him across country, and he's so mad that he
I
just
think you watched a movie
no, that was
he hates
there.
No, yeah, no, this game like,
well, and he's
game,
mad because he screwed over that friend and then ended up having to move right after he screwed over the friend, so he couldn't apologize.
Yes, right. I will say the one thing I loved about this game was the art. The art style. Very, very good to look at. Very, very, what's name an art style, Jeff?
Van Gogh.
Expressionistic.
No, that's an artist, not a style. Expressionist, you could do, what did Jackson Pollock do? Just throw paint at the wall. What was that called?
Throw paint at the
wall. Abstract. You got abstract, you got cubist.
What's the one where you put
it's expressionistic.
What's the one where you put paint on your butt and sit on a canvas?
That would be like
that's Cubert.
that would be called Tuesday. I'm pretty sure that's the Jackson Pollock way, the abstract, which is I have no innate artistic talent, so I just dump paint.
Yes. And sell my paintings for millions of dollars. No, the art style behind this game is very it's one of the better games to look at that we've played in my time on this podcast. And I thought it represented what the game was like, not what the game was trying to do, but what the message behind it was a very very thought-provoking game, I guess. There was a lot to read in this game. And so I found myself tapping the screen a lot.
Yeah, well, it's definitely not a game, like, for the casual mobile player. Because
there is
so much to the story.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And I actually took the time to, you know, play for the story when I was playing this. Generally, on a lot of these games, I just try to get the gameplay out of the way and don't really worry about story. Like, for example, when we played the Dragon Quest one, I didn't care about the story then. I was just trying to get through the gameplay. But this one, I actually was like, okay, I'm going to take some time and test this story out and see what it's like. Because, I mean, they were very heavy-handed with, hey, this is the story. This is what you're going to be focusing on. Because the amount of gameplay to story ratio isn't as big as the quote-unquote story.
What I think you mean to say is there's a whole lot more story than there is gameplay.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
100%.
I found that to be true, too, which actually kind of made me a little more intrigued at the beginning. Because I'm like, oh, this is just a free RPG. And like Mark said, it looks good. And it plays like an RPG should play. It wasn't until I got into like the gacha system where it started losing me a little bit.
Well, you do have to grind. And it may have been different in your play style obviously will dictate how in depth you have to grind. But when I battled the guy on the motorcycle, I had to grind. And that's the thing about these games is that you will hit a point where you do have to grind, and you do have to, go searching for, you know, more experience. And I did have to go grinding through just regular battles to get to a point where I felt like I was comfortable where I could battle this guy on the motorcycle. And not have to, you know, worry about, oh, I'm automatically gonna get wiped by this guy and have to start over from the beginning of the level.
So speaking of that, I want to jump into the paywall for two reasons. You guys mentioned the gacha system, and you mentioned the grinding for this guy. So
paywall.
Now that we're in the paywall. Mark, when you played that guy, did you get killed by him? Question.
Yeah.
Okay. So, the first time I wasn't able to beat a boss and I got killed, I was given the option to, I believe it was to watch a video.
Yep.
I had the same.
Okay.
Yeah, I ran.
So you can watch a video and it basically, after the video is over, it revives you with full health. and you can continue the battle on. Did you get die yep. again after watching that video?
Yes, against the guy on the motorcycle.
Okay, so the second time you died, did it give you the option to pay the currency to continue, or did you get another option to do a video, or did you quote just flat out die from there?
I think it was like 50 of the crystals or whatever the currency was.
I think it's like orbs or something like that, if I remember correctly. But yeah, that's like the only currency that I saw in the game. But
yeah, there's only one currency that I encountered.
Okay, so
and I could either choose to pay the currency, or I could watch the video, or I could just quit and just be done with it. Start over from the beginning of the level.
Okay, so I'm going to argue that this game is pay to win because of the fact that you can continue to grind on the bosses, dying every time, as long as you have enough currency to buy yourself back to life.
Yeah, I'll agree with that. That's how this game's set up. That's how most gacha games are.
Yeah. And now, so as far as the gacha is concerned, though, once I had a full party, I did not feel the need to even pursue any other characters. How about you guys?
Oh, I agree. Now, one thing we should say, too, is that there are your regular gacha pulls and then, like, premium gacha pulls that you can only get with real money.
Yeah, so...
Yeah, I agree with that, is I encountered the same.
Yeah, there was quote-unquote one currency, but there was the ones that you could earn, but then you had the same currency that was quote-unquote premium, and that could be used specifically right. for those premium gacha characters.
That was so confusing, because it looks the same.
Oh, yes.
As the currency you pay for. And so you go to the store thinking, oh, I've got enough to buy these premium ones. And you can't do it, because you can only do it when you've paid real money.
Right. And that's the thing about these types of games is that, yeah, you can grind, but the grind becomes so just monotonous, and like it takes all of the fun out of playing the game, that it's forcing you to either don't play the game again or spend money, and this game is one of those. It just becomes such a crawl, and you don't want to crawl to get a little bit of gameplay out of it. You just want to pay. You want to pay to get past the spot where you're at, and that's what you have to do, and that's what I ran into.
Yeah.
I didn't have the ability or the characters to beat the guy on the motorcycle. So the game either wanted me to crawl to grind or pay to get better. And I didn't want to pay. I wasn't going to pay money to get better. So I was like, well, then this. I'm not going to play the game.
Oh my gosh.
Don't worry, I'll get it.
What? What?
It's Budget Arcade, man.
I'm not gonna pay money.
No,
you can't say.
Oh my gosh! Now I gotta get that one too.
I didn't say.
You totally
where did.
Did
I say?
Oh gosh.
Where did I say the word?
You totally
Scott's
did.
Gonna have to bleep the shit out of this. All right. It's just gonna be one
beep beep.
No, I didn't say the word.
You did.
Don't put words in my mouth.
You totally did, but that's okay. Scott's going to edit
it
out.
I heard it too, Jeff.
Thank you. That's like an alcoholic who's like, I didn't have anything to drink. Yo, there's a 6-pack of beer right there, empty. Yeah, that's not mine. Please.
Oh, gosh. Also, I want to mention, I didn't run into this myself, but I noticed on some of the characters that you're pulling, there is a star system and a ranking for those characters. I know there was like a level cap too. I'm pretty sure the level cap was like 25 levels. So I imagine that once you get your 3-star characters to level 25, there's going to come a time where that's not enough to be able to continue in this game. And so you're going to have to try to pull gacha characters that are like 4-star and 5-star or whatever the top star is, and then have them get to level 25 to be even able to contend with some of the other later bosses.
Yeah. I can't, because like Mark said, at least in the early game, you don't really feel pressured to expand your roster via the gacha system. So I imagine at some point, though, you're going to run into a place where you are presented with a steep grind or the opportunity to pay. So
we didn't mention that there are items that you can craft for weapons and armor for each character, but that's part of the gameplay, but it's not, I didn't find it to be heavily influenced by the game. Like, you didn't have to get your character's weapons and stuff because they still seem to, yeah, they seem to have the ability to be able to go toe to toe with most of the characters. It did offer a slight boost in their stats from what I noticed. And you, as you go to later areas, you get more powerful weapons and more powerful armors that you can create and equip to your characters. So you do gain a lot of the regular currency just by playing the game, because you've got like a million different quests that as soon as you like kill a new enemy, you get a, you accomplish a quest for that. As soon as you get to another section of the gameplay, you've accomplished another thing and you get more of the regular currency, not the premium currency.
Replayability.
It's not replay. To me, this game is not replayable in the immediate. It's not replayable. It's because either you want to grind or you don't. And if you want to grind, the game is super replayable. It's because there's always things to do. There's always battles to have. But if grinding isn't your thing, this game
isn't replayable. I'm going to say, being a spiritual successor to Chrono Trigger, I imagine that there's multiple endings for this game. Obviously, I didn't get far enough to be able to go to any of those endings, but if it is supposed to be in line with what Chrono Trigger was in the past, there's definitely going to be more than one ending, so there's probably the replayability of that, I would argue. Granted, again, I don't have that data to be able to present that.
Just splice in the YouTube ending of this game.
I didn't watch the YouTube. How about you, Jeff?
Do it. Nope. You should have. No, yeah. Jeff, how about YouTube Jeff over there?
I don't YouTube.
Oh. What about you, Mark? Did you YouTube it?
I didn't, because I'm not YouTube
Mark. But you know who we got? I'm going to get Lincoln on. Detective Lincoln, baby. He's going to find out just how much YouTube you do watch.
Detective Lincoln is blocked, hashtag blocked, from Mark's ordeals. But anyway, no, I mean, I agree with you. Yes, if it is anything like Chrono Trigger, there are multiple endings, and that would be a replayability factor for this game. But in order to get that far, you either have to grind or you have to pay money, and that's these games. These games are like that. That's what makes them so either hot or cold, or, you know, so popular. What was the name of the game that we played a couple
Super
months
Mario
ago?
Super Mario Brothers.
It's not the gacha game. It's on consoles. Scott, help
on
me out.
Consoles.
Oh, are you thinking about Genshin Impact?
Yes. So that at least is open world, and there's tons of things to do, and there's tons of replayability in that. Is because you can go wherever you want.
Linear storyline like this one does.
Well, that's true too. You're right. Yeah. Granted that it doesn't have that, but this game, you have to grind to progress the story. In Genshin Impact, you don't have to grind to progress the story. You just grind to grind. But at least you can do all sorts of other things with this game. You have to grind to progress. And if you don't grind, you're not going to progress any sort of way. And to me, that makes the game unplayable.
If you ask me.
Yeah, I agree with Scott on that. That's kind of the deal. Like, going back to Albert Odyssey, I got to a place where there was a vampire, and I kept getting crushed by him. So I had to take my behind outside and start slaying monsters I could actually beat and then buy a ton of potions and go back. I mean, that's just JRPGs to me.
Right. So if it's that way, and if it's that JRPG, and that's how JRPG is, then why are we entertaining the gacha system? Why are we entertaining
money somehow?
And to me, right. And so to me, it's either one or the other. It can't be both.
I'm confused.
No, it can't try to make money and progress story
a lot of
and be a JRPG.
I'm with you that a JRPG where, so there are JRPGs out there that are gacha systems, but the issue is that this game presents story as being so important, whereas the other ones, it's not. And that's kind of where the conflict comes in. So I see what you're saying.
Right, absolutely.
Judgment.
All right, so at the end of each episode, we vote on whether the game deserves our seal or not and requires a 2/3 vote to be approved or denied. Mark, what say you?
Yeah, it's not going to get my seal because while the game is good to look at, the art is fantastic in it. It just, in order for it to be worth anything, there's got to be more to do than just either grind or story. Or grind or pay, I'm sorry. And to me, it's not worth the effort to grind, and I'm not going to pay for this story, so
all right.
It's not going to get us.
I enjoyed the game, and the fact that I can grind out and not have to worry about paying to continue the story was a big plus. Like, most of these other games that are similar to this are just like, yeah, we want you to keep playing and pay this money, but we're not going to give you any more content unless you pay the money to continue to play this game. So it was refreshing that this game doesn't like pigeonhole you into having to pay the money to continue to play this game. And the storyline just keeps going until, you know, wherever it ends. Obviously, I didn't get that far, but what I did get of the story was very refreshing. So this is going to get my seal. How about you, Jeff?
Jeff.
No, it's not, which is not
comes
a surprise.
Down to you.
But the caveat being that JRPGs just simply aren't my bag, baby. But
you're talking to DJ Jazzy Jeff.
That's an Austin Powers reference.
There's a lot. What? Yeah, the Austin Powers reference, correct. There's a book by Jeff saying JRPGs and me, this sort of thing is my bag, baby. My train of thought's completely gone. No, it's not going to get mine because
no,
I don't.
You don't
think,
need a train of thought. No, that was perfect. That
I
was
don't
perfect.
Think that the melding of JRPG with the heavy story works with the gacha system. I don't think it's as you keep bringing up this spiritual successor to Chrono Trigger. I just don't see it personally, and time travel being in a JRPG is not enough of a like the mechanics don't match to me. So and there is a game that I have played that's a JRPG, but it's made by an American company, an indie company, and it's called Cosmic Star Heroine. And it, if you look at a video of it, you're like, wow, that looks like Chrono Trigger in the future, and it feels more like that's what I would call a spiritual successor. But no, I can't recommend this.
All right. We do have one commentary this week.
Jeff's going to read it.
It's Mark's turn.
Oh, is it my turn? Okay. I'll read this commentary. Hey. Don't threaten me with good time.
I'm going to go ahead and get cozy. Hold on, it's story time.
Let me pull it up.
Because I saw long this commentary was. Let me get my robe.
Hold on. Mispronounce the name on
purpose.
I'm going to
get some hot cocoa. Story time with Mark.
So, story time with... So this week's commentary comes from user Sifton. And it says, from my time spent in the game, it references Chrono Trigger all of the time. From the shifting time periods being the same, to the backgrounds, to the boss fights, to the music, and to the fact we still don't know how Lenny is pronounced. Editor's note, I don't know how that's pronounced either. And now we have to figure out Finny. Plus Frog is named Cyrus. Which is the best friend of Frog in Chrono Trigger? My current opinion is this game is a complete retelling of Chrono Trigger. It isn't just a successor, it is a parallel telling of the original story. With a game based around time, there is absolutely the possibility of alternative reality. Both games aren't really based around the protagonists, and instead spend their time building connections with NPCs. They both are the embodiment of RPG. You can absolutely replace the protagonist with yourself. The combat is where Another Eden falls short, though. It sorely misses the active mode that Chrono Trigger has. Having the combat wait until you attack for action to happen turns it into a grind instead of fighting. Another gripe I have is the lack of turn timers on each character. It's hard to tell who will go first and hard to maximize turns because of this. Also, the overall stats don't have a huge impact, at least not where I'm at. Another playing for 10 plus hours, I still don't know what stats do what except for attacked and HP. Really, an underwhelming combat and stat system that can turn the grind of an RPG into a slog. There is one saving grace, however. When you have a full party, you can heal in the reverse slot and gain experience there as well. It makes grinding a bit easier and really makes the battles exciting since you can switch between the frontline and reserve characters. But that feeling is only for hard fights. However, it's just... Oh, I'm sorry. Otherwise, it's just another menu that you have to use to heal while grinding. Is Another Eden as good as Chrono Trigger? No. Sadly, no. There really won't be an RPG like Chrono Trigger ever. But does the game have the same themes and strive to have the player build a strong connection with a game? Yes, Another Eden should be compared to Chrono Trigger. But it is not Chrono Trigger, and that is important to remember. I want to keep playing Another Eden because I want to know the story. It is a brilliant story with lovable characters that will keep you playing just to see what happens next.
There you have it. Like, we should have just read that, and that could have been our episode.
Yeah. It would have saved us 48 minutes.
But thanks for your commentary. We do appreciate it. If you want to get your commentary to us, head over to our Discord and check out the commentary, what do you call that, channel? And leave your commentary for whatever game of the week we happen to be playing.
Which is next week, or the next game we're going to be playing is Super Bomberman R Online.
Yes.
Oh, this game. God.
How could you be upset about Bomberman?
Because I've read your text about it. God.
What? The only issue has been Scott's been having trouble getting the game running. The games work flawlessly for me.
Well?
You have a PlayStation, which is a different system, so you should be able to get it running.
Yeah, and honestly, I think the issue might be that because I don't have Xbox Live currently, and this is such a new free-to-play game that it's not adhering to Xbox Live's new algorithms where free-to-play games are supposed to be able to connect, because it's I'm having issues with connectivity.
Yeah, so download it on the Switch.
I'll be playing on the Switch. I will be playing on
Switch,
the Switch,
PS4, Xbox, PC.
Yeah, it's supposed Wonder to be Swan. On the next gen consoles too.
Well, when you say Xbox, that's a given because
yes,
you know,
it's on the PS. Hold on, Scott, it's on the PS5.
It's supposed to be.
Oh, okay. I might play on the PS5 then.
All right.
Jeff, you should play on the Xbox Series whatever.
I did already.
Oh. Okay, cool. All right, well, we should have reviews of the next generation consoles.
What?
Then.
Okay, whatever. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. There you go.
Okay.
There you go. Just agree and move
on. I'm going to get us out of here by saying, if you want to reach out to us, we're on Twitter and Instagram at Budget Arcade. We have a Facebook page, facebook.com/budgetarcade. If you want to check us out on twitch.tv, that's Budget Arcade Podcast. And it's also Budget Arcade Podcast on tiktok.com.
If you want to support us, we do have a Patreon at patreon.com/budgetarcade. For supporting us, you'll be able to have exclusive access to our Patreon channel and our Discord. You can join our Discord from any of our social medias or also the show notes. The music is provided by Stimage, and you can download his music at metroidmetal.com. Please leave a nice review wherever you listen, and don't forget to subscribe. And game on!
Podcast Network.